Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop. F- a mic drop, bag drop.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this is a highly requested episode and something that has been asked for a long time, and one of the biggest topics in financial literacy, no matter what area you work in.
Yeah, but before we get started, we got to let him in on the breaking news alert. All right, so earners, the time has come. EYLU Grad School is here, and you know how we bring it in. Over 100 past webinars, weekly webinars from industry experts, monthly financial planning calls with Rashad, our movie and book club, access to our private investment group on Facebook. And we've just added the Home Buyer's Blueprint Volume 1 Reloaded from our brother MG the Mortgage Guy, which has over 12 hours of content to guide you through the process of buying a home, with a number of home buying programs to get you through the process, y'all. And in addition to that, you now have access to our weekly mentorship calls for all things real estate, hosted again by our brother MG. It's an amazing package. We put it all together. We can't wait for you to see it and be a part of it. And right now it's 50% off. So all you got to do is head over to EYLUniversity.com and you're going to get 50% off.
Student loans. Student loans is a huge, huge, huge thing. I believe it's, correct me if I'm wrong, $1.9 trillion of student loan debt total in America. So millions of people are crippled by student loans. Millions of parents have to make decisions, whether they, you know, send their kids to high-cost college and have to, you know, put that type of burden on them. Millions of young Americans, young people have to decide early on. They have to make, you know, crucial decisions that might affect their life for the rest of their life as far as, you know, going to what college they're going to go to, how much student loan they're going to take out. And then when they graduate, it's a whole bunch of stuff as far as, you know, paying it back and how they pay it back and how it affects their credit score and how does it affect trying to buy a home. So we haven't talked about student loans too much. We a few episodes, we kind of just like told stories about student loans.
But yeah. I think early on, I gave my student loan story.
Yeah.
Early episodes, yeah.
Sure, but we haven't actually like broke it down, student loans, in like detail. So we brung in the best in the business to do that.
The best.
Sonya Lewis, also known as the student loan doctor. So she's a CEO and the first African-American woman own student loan repayment company in the United States of America. She's been featured on Forbes, Money Magazine, Essence, Black Enterprise, and now EYL. Link in the bio.
As seen on.
And it's crazy because she actually also taught a class for EYL University. That was incredible. I listened to that while I was preparing for this. And we actually met years ago. So you never know how life is going to, you know, come back 360. You know, me as a financial advisor, I used to do speaking engagements every once in a while, you know, and kind of talk about investing and insurance and stuff like that. And a group had actually asked me to come in to speak in New York in the city. And one of the other speakers was none other than Sonya. And that's the first time. And she literally, she rocked it. She rocked it. And she broke down student loans. She broke down repayment options. She broke down everything. And that's the first time that we had connected. And that was years ago, probably.
You remember that? Like,
oh, I remember that. It was my first big, I don't even know if it was big, but gig outside of Philly. I took it so serious. I had got some t-shirts made.
Yeah, you had some workers with you too, right?
They was unpaid volunteers.
I remember. Nobody knew that. We thanked them.
I remember. No, that was
operating excellence.
Yeah. So now, you know, she's blown up on social media and she's become the authority on student loans. And you know, we have a little known podcast that little people listen to every now and then. I appreciate that. So it's good to link back up. So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I really, really am. I really am. So one, thank you both for having me.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been listening to the podcast, and when I first listened to it, I'm listening to his voice particularly. I'm like, I know that voice. But nothing ever triggered to go look up the voice. You know how you just move so quickly. So then I think it was Instagram, and I seen his face. I'm like, I know that face. And so I asked my girlfriend, I'm like, have you ever listened to EYL? Denise, and she's such a fan. She's actually really mad that she's not here with me today.
Okay. Shout out to Denise.
I got sick. I'm like, no. So I was like, oh, no. I said, do you remember the engagement I had way, way before? And she said, oh, yeah. I said, well, that's him. She's like, oh, wow. So I just think that it's really important that when you meet people, one, to be nice to them and be kind to them. I was really, really blown away and impressed with Rashad from the very, very beginning when he spoke. And I was like, well, wait a minute, I'm going to level up. and I also felt like I had drove for Philly. I know for a fact I was tired because it was nighttime, remember?
Yeah, it was nighttime.
So I was on like, I don't know if you know if I had like a lot of energy that night, but I was on like 3 Red Bulls. I'm like, so what you going to do is, please forgive me. And I totally like, when I got home, I was like, you know, totally out of it. But I'm excited to be here nonetheless.
No, for sure. So let's jump into it. So how did this start? How did you become the student loan doctor? How did that happen?
Yeah, I was broke.
That's usually how these journeys begin.
Yes, I was sorry. So anybody starts other than that, they're lying. No. So what happened was I was in a financial literacy course at church. And it was really after the either of my grandmother passing. And you ever realize, like, if that person, whoever is your person in your life goes, you don't have no person anymore. And who could you call to ask for help, support? So that was my grandmother. So I'm like, oh, this, like, I could really be one check away. You know, I was living real dangerous, overdrafted on overdraft. It was not good. And the thing is, it wasn't like I wasn't making money. I think at that time I was early 20s, making like 60 a year. And that's good with no responsibilities living in Philly. You know, that's fine. But I was just really, really beyond check to check at that point because I was trying to keep up with people. And so I put myself through this class, and the one topic the teacher kept going around was student loan debt. Now, that is my professional background. So I've worked in the university, I guess at this point, where are we at, 2010? So like going over 12 years at this point, I have connections with the university. And so I knew what to do. Like I knew how to help people. I knew how to advise people. It's just that I felt like everybody else knew that too. I don't know if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I felt like student loans, like, oh, all you got to do is, but when you come to find out is a lot of people don't know about their student loans, don't want to know about their student loans, and they're really upset that they have student loans. And so I just started giving out some free knowledge at church. Mm-hmm. But what had happened was after the church class, people start coming into the church because the church is right there by Temple University.
Okay.
They start coming in.
North Philly.
Yeah, North Philly. They start coming in. Can we speak to the young lady about loans? I'm like, no, wait a minute. That's me, but I gotta go home now. You know. So I was helping people after church. I'm gonna say for a few hours, right? And then I'm like, Jesus ain't say to do this for free. Now, I didn't hear that word. I still haven't heard that word. So I was like, well, you know what? Because I can't charge in the Lord's house. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, let's meet at the Cozy in the Corner Bakery. I had two locations in Philly because, you know, people don't like to travel.
Shout out to Cozy. Yeah, that's a good meeting spot.
But what's the Cozy?
Cozy is like it's like an eatery. Like, it has like benches. It's like a upscale, I guess, Starbucks.
Yeah,
with just no coffee,
with some food,
which is
right.
Food. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Snacks.
Yeah, I had marriage counseling in Cozy.
And Cozy, okay. Yeah. Okay, so everybody uses it because the Wi-Fi is free.
Good place. Yep, and Wi-Fi is free.
Bother you now? At Corner Bakery, I did have to flirt with the manager. I did. I never cashed it on that date because I needed the corner booth with the plug. Okay, it's a lot of strategic planning going on.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta get there by 6, and I left. I think they closed at 10. And then on the weekends, I would be there from 9 to 9.
Yeah.
And I think at that time, I was charging like, what, $30, $40 an hour? I didn't know about business. I just knew I was going to sit here for free. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a real business yet. But literally, y'all, when I tell you, nobody missed their appointment. Like, that's kind of unheard of. Like, no one missed their appointment for weeks. And so what I did ultimately was, you know, I got a scheduler. I start looking at office spaces. I'm like, well, if I get this many clients and I go up to this price. So then that's when all that entrepreneurship stuff started to like kick in. I got to read this book. You know, so I had to learn a lot just because I didn't want to lose momentum on what was happening. And I didn't really, like I said, want to sit there all day. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we can go from the story from there. But that was really the catalyst. I just wanted to help people. I knew I wasn't going to do it too much longer for free.
Yeah.
But I think even when I was doing 40 an hour, it really paced out more than what I was making at work. And now I'm looking at my work calendar like, I'm not going to be able to be here much longer. Like, I need to take off this day because if I could get these appointments in, and the math just wasn't adding up after a while.
So did the knowledge in the subject area come from your experiences of dealing with student loans? Okay,
for the employer. All right, so, yeah. I was helping adults in college.
What college?
Pierce College.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was helping them in college understand their financial aid package. We had to literally, because they're adults, coach them in it. Like 2 to 4 years, this is what your payment could look like. You know, are you okay with coming to school paying this because you know this payment is coming? So I was able to already teach that because that's what I had to do every day for work.
Yeah. Okay.
But I didn't know that was a consultant.
Yeah. I just remember being on campus and like had no idea what financial aid was and signing all these papers that were a lot of money. Right. I had no idea what interest was. I didn't know what a cosigner was.
Nobody.
And I just know like, yo, that's what we got to do to make it happen at school.
So because we work with adult learners, we had a responsibility. I feel like, or we felt like at that school to teach and tell people because, you know, think about it. When you're 18, you got a little while off. You might be with mom for a bit, dad. But when you're an adult, we're already with bills. We kind of felt like we had a responsibility to tell people up front.
Mm-hmm. That's a good population too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've been in classes with older students, and it's like they were more focused because they knew that their time was limited. As we were just sitting there, like, I can't wait for this to be over. There's a party later.
Oh no, those you know? The ones with the highlighters with three, you know, right.
exactly. It's like I'm gonna be that student one day.
So like all of the tricks and stuff, like everything you learn, you already knew that from your job, or you just really just Googled everything and just studied your life away?
Well, so the job taught me a lot, but once I decided this is going to be my real, when I decided to leave my job, I started going to different conferences that was given by the Department of Education. Some conferences cost, some conferences were free, but like I would say 2015 through 17, I was at like every conference the Department of Education or affiliated thereof, the colleges thereof would have, I would be right there. In the very beginning, I couldn't afford those conferences, so I would be on the volunteer committee and I would be on the welcome booth. I had a strategy. I would be on the welcome booth for 4 hours and then I could join the rest of the conference for free.
Mm.
You just had to get there. I mean, and then I was like, well, what girlfriend do I know in DC? I mean, it was real like, you know, but I just really had a clear vision. I was never confused about what I wanted this to be. I just needed to not give up on myself, if that makes sense.
Perfect sense.
All right. So now you got the backstory, and we'll talk more about the branding and all of that, how you turned into a business. But let's dive into it as far as the meat and potatoes. So I got questions. I'm sure Troy got questions. But the first question I want to ask is, shout out to MG the Mortgage Guy. I'm not sure if you saw the post that he did. But that was something that got a lot of traction on our page, and we posted. And he said something to the effect that if you have student loan debt, not to do a FHA loan or a conventional loan, trying to buy a home, first time home buyers, but to do an IBR, which I think it stands for income-based repayment. So it got a lot of traction, and people was asking, like, what is an IBR? What does this mean? Can you decode this? So can you decode that a little bit?
Yeah, so the term really should be IDR. So IDR is basically the collection of different plans that are based on your repayment. So IBR is one, repay, pay, and ICR. When Biden comes into office, the question is, will Biden add a fifth plan or replace those plans with one plan? So that's what we're about to see. So right now, and this is really cool, and this is the best time that anybody with a lot of student loan debt should be buying a house before laws change. When Republicans are in office, there are so many caveats and little programs and tricks that still get people to buy, right? Mm-hmm. But when Democrats get in office, programs get closed down, shut down. They get very, very conservative. So I'm a little nervous, just to be quite honest, with Biden taking office, that what you just announced is going to go away. So if that is the case, if you're watching this in real time, you might want to get your stuff together so you can get a home. So basically, if you have your loans on an income-driven repayment plan, so right now it's messing everybody up because we're in the CARES Act until January 31st.
Yes. Right? Yes.
But it is messing some people up to buy a home because they would literally have to come out of that plan and go into repayment.
Right.
Right. And so let's say, for example, somebody's loans were normally $700 a month. Well, $700 a month is a lot, like you already got a mortgage, right?
Yeah.
So, but then let's say based off of their income and their household size, they can get their loan down to $200 a month. So which one on paper would you rather have, $200 or
$700?
$200. $200. So $200 is what a mortgage lender can use when looking at your debt-to-income ratio. But the caveat is you have to have, my opinion, over a 720 credit score. Now, some people say 700, but I account for them checking your credit and it going down. Mm. So, and the reason that is because conventional loans, the better your credit, the better you'll get in terms of your interest rate and less money you have to put down.
Yeah, I laughed when you said the CARES Act, because most people know if you owe student loan debt, there's no interest being charged up until the 31st of January of 2021. And so that's an issue. But I actually knew about those repayment plans. It actually, you know, I owe a little bit.
So can we talk about that for even people that have it might already know, but let's say kids are listening to it that's in college, or mm-hmm. they're trying to make a decision. So it's the ICR, IB. Can we talk about each one?
I was actually going to go there.
Okay.
So the fourth, it was pay, repay, the IBR and ICR. The reason I found out is because when I was trying to get a loan forgiveness plan, mm-hmm. I wasn't part of one of those.
Right.
And so I got declined.
Yes.
And I was like, wait, what is this? And so, yeah, can you go into the depth of the parameters of each?
So let's go through it. So the Obama administration gave us the pay and the repay plan. Mm-hmm. So pay came out first, and that's for those that have new loans or newly consolidated loans in the direct loans program. Your payment is capped at 10%. Mm-hmm. Repay came out because people went off. They were like upset. Like, so I can't get my payments lower. So then they came out what's called repay that said, if you just have a direct loan, doesn't have to be newly consolidated, you can get 10% too. Although more is forgiven over time under the pay plan than the repay plan. The IBR plan is the old fashioned income based repayment plan that everybody knows. And anybody listening should check their loans to see which plan they normally are under. Mm-hmm. Most people never switch out, and they could actually lower their payment by going to repay from IBR.
So you have, based on how much you make, will determine how much you're going to have to pay.
Yes.
Okay.
So IBR is at a 15% margin. ICR is at a 20% repayment. And if anybody's listening, they will write down if they had parent plus loans. Hmm. Sometimes you teach, I'm like, I want to write it out.
Yeah, I know
so,
those.
I'm like, okay, so ICR is 20%. Now, what Biden is proposing is the plan that they're saying that he's coming out with will be at 5%. So some people are really going to see a good win in terms of their money.
5%.
Of your expectation to be able to repay back loans.
So if you borrow $100,000, you only have to pay back $5,000?
Oh, no, 5% of your income.
Your income. So your income. $5,000.
Okay.
Right. So like if somebody was making $100,000, mm-hmm. like with a teacher's salary in New York, that could happen easily, mm-hmm. right? And you have to pay 15%. Mm-hmm. That's $1,500, right? Mm-hmm. And so like you have to make to get the forgiveness of the one I was saying, I think it's the PSLF, right?
Yes.
The mm-hmm. public service. So if you're a teacher, if you're anything in a public service, you can get this loan forgiveness. You'd have to make 120 consecutive payments
yes.
to qualify for it.
Yes.
And that started
It dates back to 2007. Mm-hmm. So this was the problem I ran into. I'm like, oh, bet, 2007, I haven't missed a payment. And 2017, it was my 10th year, and I was like, oh, great.
So then you need to look into what's called the TEPSLF.
So I did it. I got forgiven for another loan.
Okay.
Yeah, so then that's when I started researching. Wait, there's more loans out there for teachers.
Yes.
And so I did the teacher loan forgiveness, where it was like, if you are a highly qualified teacher in the subject at 5 years, and it has to be a Title I school.
Wait, so that's clarification.
Yeah, yeah. There's two different.
I got to remember we're doing a podcast. So yeah, yeah. I'm not like, so let me think. Yeah, yeah. So what you're saying is, okay, so let me ask you a question. So okay. You got the teacher loan forgiveness.
Yep.
But did you get the TE?
I did not. I did not.
Did you apply yet?
I did, but they told me I wasn't in one of those four qualifying ones. So I wasn't in pay, repay, IBR.
Well, wait, no. TE is different than PSLF.
Okay, no, then I wasn't. I didn't get that. Yeah, yeah. Okay, go.
So I'm going to offline show you the other plan.
Perfect.
So the government, and the money might still be available.
Okay.
They gave a window of money for people that, like him, have been paying since 2007, but was on a standard plan, let's say. And he like, I've been paying, so why am I not? And I work for, and so it's under a different program.
Okay.
It's just like a spinoff of the PSLF. A lot of people don't know about it. They talked about it one time on the news. I'm like, so I'll show you where that's at.
Yeah,
last time I checked, there's still money available.
Yeah, because it was like a bunch of people had applied. They had did the 10 years. They had the 120 payments. And I think less than 1% of people actually got forgiveness.
So then they told them to go back and apply for that second plan I'm telling you about.
Yeah.
But it got confusing and people didn't do it. They closed it. They reopened it. So last time I checked, I looked literally the other day, it's still open.
Your DM is about to blow up.
Okay. But that's the whole purpose.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to be really knowledgeable about these things. And let me be very clear. Like, I don't work for Sallie Mae. I don't even like student loans in a concept. I like that people that come to us or come to me initially can get the help to move forward in life.
Because,
like, if you walk away with 100% forgiveness after that, he's going to be light as a bird around here, right? And then you're going to do something different with your money. Like, I don't know how much you pay towards your student loans out of COVID, but that additional money can go to all the things you guys talk about, right?
Yeah.
Real estate and investing. But that'd be the number one reason why people do not get into growing their money, because this student loan debt payment.
It makes you. It can make you stagnant, right? It can
depression too.
It can,
right?
It can make you depressed. Yeah. It could leave you to a point where it's like, yo, now I have to live at home longer than I expected.
Absolutely.
Now I can't afford to get a car. Now I can't afford to even be in a real relationship, right? Because I can't have a family.
Oh,
so I can't get married. I can't afford to do it. And so it stagnates your life from a decision that you made at 18.
I gotta tell a story.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is real. And if somebody's watching is going to understand what I'm about to say. So if you are particularly like a Black woman and you're dating and you got six-figure student loan debt, I know it come up in your mind at one point, like, how am I going to tell this man, right? So what happens when I used to do one-on-one appointments in person, I miss those days. Those were fun. Guys who used to book their fiance and girlfriends for like appointments that the girls didn't know about.
Hmm.
So they would come in like, well, where are we at? And I'm like, hi, I'm thinking everybody knows. Nobody knows but him. And I'm like, so you didn't tell him? And he's like, no, I'm going to go get some lunch. And he like just dropped the girl off. So now she's arms folded. She's tight. And I'm like, oh, God. And you know, remember how you had like panty buttons at work?
Yeah,
I don't have that in the office. So I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, so here's what's going to happen. So we're going to go through your loans. And I said, and so the girl, I remember she was so upset. She had that bad attitude. And then I just had to get real for like 2 seconds, you know. I was like, look, this was about to be. I was like, I really think that this man likes you. He likes you enough to have booked this appointment. He thinks highly enough of you. That probably means he may want to propose, get married soon. But he's very serious about his money, and he's not going to propose to you unless you tackle your student loan debt. Because I think she told him, right? So I said, so what we're going to do is we're going to put you on this plan. And I think she was eligible for PSLF. I said, and then when he comes back, you're going to tell him the game plan, like all excited and enthusiastic. You got it? But I don't know. Like, I just think I'm a whole different person. And she was like, okay. So we did work it out to where her payments would be 130. She was enrolled on PSLF. And then you could see his face was like, oh, all right, okay, so what you're saying is all she got to do is, so he was like real light after that because it was real tense. And then sure enough, you know, I stalked him. I wanted to see, like 6 months later, he proposed. But now, like, I don't think he would have not proposed if, well, we don't know really.
Yo.
But he really needed to feel comfortable that she was on top of her loan debt. And so it does come up in dating and trying to buy a home together.
Student loan doctor slash marriage counselor.
Salute that man. So let me ask you this. Okay, so me, I'm a slow learner, and fortunately, I never had to deal with any of this stuff. So all of this stuff is like kind of foreign to me. So for people that you know, might be in the same boat as me, and they might have children. It might not affect them, but they might have children. Yeah. So
sure.
let's try to unpack this a little bit. So it's like all these different loans. Which one is the best loan to get in? I know that's like a hard question, mm-hmm. but which one is the best loan to get in? And then if you are in a bad loan, how can you maneuver into a good one?
So with the federal government, there's only like one type of loan, which is a federal loan, right? And so when we have students going to college, they get what's called an award letter. They'll be told if they get any grants, any scholarships, and then on the award letter, it'll say unsub and sub, right? And so sub means loans that have interest that's paid for by the government. Unsub means the interest you're responsible from day one as to how it accrues. Parents get jammed up when they apply for what's called the Parent Plus loan. It's like the devil child of student loans. Like it's bad, but they really make it to where parents get trapped. It's like kind of like a private loan.
Yeah,
if you will.
Yeah. I was just gonna say yeah, that's the difference between the federal and the privates. Yeah.
Right, and because the interest rate is horrible, like 7.8. Most times they want you to go into repayment right away. They do hit and look at your credit, and so they gotta decide who has better credit, mom or dad, when doing the application. If mom or dad gets denied, the child can get $2,000 additional per the semester. But if you're going anywhere outside of a state school, like if we're here in New York, that money should be enough to cover that tuition. But when people go to more expensive schools, what happens? What do they got to take out?
Private loans.
And now private loans are really like the death of our economy, mm-hmm. particularly for Black millennials, because everyone wants to go to an HBCU, right? But everybody's not getting full funding to go to an HBCU. So I see a lot of graduates that come out. The most they can borrow is $57,500 undergrad. And then they have like $100,000 in private loan debt. Let me be really clear. $100,000 private loan is different than $100,000 federal. And the reason it is because if you owe $100,000, your payment could still only be $200 based off of your income and who you take care of. But with a private loan, that payment's going to be $1,000 with a period behind it.
Then the F word comes. Forbearance, right?
So
well, no, not yet. With private loans.
Oh, not with private, with federal you can.
Yeah.
Okay. So federal loans, all of these programs, income-based programs, all of that. But private loans, there's no kind of program to lower the payment?
No, your lender may have something like Navient may say, well, we'll allow you to do some forbearance, but then the interest is still capitalizing. The time you come out of it, the payment's now like $1,300 a month. So it's really no relief. Now, let me say this. There are only two states, Pennsylvania and Texas, that will not allow private loan debt to take over your income, like garnish your wages. Mm-hmm. But New York, definitely, we get a lot of clients that call in crying literally because they get their paychecks snatched up to 25%. Georgia, particularly Florida, I'm just thinking about where we get the most calls from with that issue. Boston, Massachusetts. So if you're listening to this and you have private loan debt, right? Because I know that's the question that comes up a lot. The goal is to get your credit up as best as possible so that you can refinance your loans. This is the best time to refinance private loan debt. But I have an asterisk. So because I do believe with the Biden administration that there is going to be a form of loan forgiveness, $10,000, $50,000, or 100%, through the Higher Education Act of 1965, the president-elect is already allowed, as soon as he takes office,
yeah.
he can just sign it off, like in one stroke of a pen.
Yeah. Sign what off?
All the debt.
So that's a good point. You're still in loan debt. And so those are some of the proposals, right? There is the everybody who has federal student loan debt, we don't want to confuse it with private, mm-hmm. they're going to get $10,000 if he signs it, right? Or the other proposal is we can do $10,000 for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right, or completely wipe away everybody's student loan.
His program, $10,000 for 5 years, that'll just pass probably through the Congress and the House. That's fine. But what we know he has the authority to do, every president has already had the authority to do, is literally sign 100% that $1.9 trillion away.
So here's my question, mm-hmm. right? Let's say because the average person, right, has under $30,000 in student loan debt. There's no interest being applied right now, right? Mm-hmm. Only the principal you can pay toward that. If we can do it, should we pay it off or should we wait till the administration to come in and see what happens?
I get that question like almost every day. So here's what I would say. there is going to be something coming. And you know, a president likes to make his mark in the first 100 days.
Yeah.
So for real, you could wait like, you know, about 100.
I'm asking for a friend.
Days,
I'm asking
right?
for a friend.
If you was watching this like right now, you know, about 130 days out, I would be on the minimum payment type of situation. Because if something did come, let's say the big number that the Democrats are pushing him to is 50,000. You would have your loans wiped clear, but you're not getting any money back mm-hmm. that you put out.
Right.
So I think, you know, it's bad to say this out loud, but I would probably be on minimum payment to see what happens.
So
noted.
Let me ask you this as far as, all right, so I guess the best student loan to get in is a federal loan, not a private loan.
Yes. Right?
The best one. So when you get in, those options are just repayment options. Like there's only one federal student loan, right? It's not like different types of federal student loans?
No, it's just one type of federal loan. The other federal loans that they used to have, which are called FFEL or FFELP or Perkins loans.
I remember those.
Right? Those are more so with colleges, universities would give out on behalf of the government. Those loans and programs have stopped.
Okay.
If you are listening to this and you have an FFEL or FFELP or Perkins loan, you should look into consolidating your loans into the direct loans program so that you can take advantage of any forgiveness that's coming. Because this current administration does not get paid, or even the CARES Act. If you had a loan that wasn't a direct loan, even in the CARES Act, they didn't pay for your loans right now. They didn't cover your loan debt. So you probably want to look into consolidation and see if it's a good fit.
So, I mean, it puts especially parents, you know, who come from working class, you know, homes, because a lot of times when you apply for student loans and your parents make a certain amount or a decent living, you're not going to get any. Right. Most times, like I remember applying for student loans and I got like $246. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is like one book. And so it forces you almost to say, like, I got to take out this loan, then I got to go the private route. So what do we do in those scenarios? Is it just like try your best and get scholarships or look for grants? What are we supposed to do?
So a student going into college?
Yeah.
Right. So a couple of things. If you're a student listening to this, I know you guys do have a good audience that's younger. You know, I believe in what's called Scholarship Sundays. Hmm. So I would recommend that starting in sophomore and junior year, you start looking for the scholarships you're going to apply to most times in junior year. Mm-hmm. Right. And the challenge with all of this is, and what it comes down to is, as parents, we don't prepare well enough. And by no fault to anybody listening, like, don't feel bad that you didn't prepare. But just know that this generation right here, the millennial generation, has to be the one to end student loan debt. Like, first off, if you're listening to your podcast and they're listening, they shouldn't even be thinking about their child having to take out student loans. Like, that's contrary. Everything you guys teach in terms of wealth building.
Yeah,
right?
I just had this conversation the other night. Like, whose responsibility is it? Is it
the parents'
lack of preparation?
That's the issue. Like, I'm getting all straight. Like,
yeah, but I mean, we first, like, so a lot of us are first generation college graduates, and so like my parents are not from this country. They don't know these things, and so like now I'm looking at my responsibility for my children is like we're never gonna have to take.
So all right. So let me ask you this, because fortunately, like I said, I didn't have to go through this process because I played basketball and I had a scholarship.
He's a scholarship kid.
Okay.
I'm not.
He has
to be
a little different.
See how he's sitting? That's when you don't got student loan debt. That's what you look like.
You know, he had no pearls right now. What's going on over there?
He's like, what is this FHA you're talking about, Troy?
You got to work on your jump shot.
I'm like, dang, nobody's supposed to be
sports. Yeah, nah.
No, I had scholarships in college. Can I be really, really honest with you? I just didn't have guidance to tell me to not take out the refund check. So I didn't have a lot. I'm going to be real. Like, in college, yo, I'm living good now. But in college, I was living right under this level. And I know that sounds weird, but I had a full ride.
That refund check.
As a young black kid, somebody saying, come to the bursar's office and pick up $5,000 every semester. What? You remember True Religions?
What?
Yo, listen, True Religions, if you was my friend, I got you up here. I didn't want to walk on campus and we didn't look fly together. We're not eating campus food. We're going to Red Lobster. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the first time I called you, college was so fun. But that's because I had a lot of money coming in from scholarships that the refunds that I did take was like play money because I didn't understand them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah, like Sundays, we're all here eating. Yo, it was like the
made
best
us over here.
I don't even know if I had real friends. I probably bought a lot of friendships because I've always been very, very generous and I have a good heart. And I'm really, if I eat, you eat. That's how I feel. And it used to be to the point, Brian's like shaking his head.
He said yes.
Yeah, so like on Sundays, it's like so digress, but like I would be like, all right, I'm cooking, I'm not a cook. I'm like, if you want to contribute, true story, I'm like, put the pack of fish with your name on a ciggy so I know that you can come back. Because they would drop off all type of food. All my guy friends, I have a lot of guy friends. Like, you could do fried fish, just drop it off at the door. Yeah.
That's it.
Like that.
That's
and it. Was like, and then all the.
I needed you in college.
Right?
Yeah. I had this is a true story.
I know the story.
For one year straight, I ate tuna fish every day for 1 year straight.
Yo, my friend 1 year straight ate ramen noodles. And imagine that wall being stacked up with ramen noodles. Beef. Shrimp and chicken. He's like, what do you want today? I don't want that. I was like,
we got options. Yeah, beef.
I
haven't had tuna fish in a while. I still eat it every once in a while, but I eat it in a salad.
Oh.
I was eating it in a sandwich.
Did your meal plan get jacked up?
Nah, you know the thing about it is playing sports. So my first 2 years was in Maryland. My next 2 years was in Hawaii. So Maryland, the scholarship included just the cafeteria food and dorm rooms and all that. When I went to Hawaii, everything was paid for, but they gave me a check. They gave me a check for like $6,000, and then that was to pay for my off-campus apartment, pay for food, and all of that. So
you blew it.
I was on my own, so I was just going grocery shopping, but I didn't know how to cook. I had a Foreman grill. I was just putting anything on the Foreman grill, and then I would just make.
You had no friends that could cook?
Yeah, we 11 hours away. Yeah, we back in New York.
So, yeah, so, you know, it was it was tough, but we made it through.
Well, you look good, though. You guys, omegas up.
You see what I'm saying?
That's see how close his skin is.
You could put tuna in your salad when you got a pre student loan.
That's all it takes. But let me ask you this. So as far as parents, right, it's interesting what you just said. You said if they're listening to this, they shouldn't even be worrying about that. So what is your advice for parents? Like, because it's like, all right, so if they can't afford to send their kid to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should they just go community college and state school and just only do federal? Like, should they never do? At what point does it make sense to do student loans, or does it really make sense to do student loans?
So I'm licensed but not licensed in this section, so I'm going to teeter lightly. But I think it would be best to pick everyone to Google the 529 plan in their state. And then talk to a licensed professional that can talk to you about a 529 plan. Because if you are, I call what's called the sticky middle. Middle class is what's called the sticky middle.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough to get a full grant ride, but not wealthy enough to pay out a pocket, right? So that sticky middle that's where a lot of people suffer. They're like, oh, you should be able to contribute to your child's education. And most people can't. So what happens is the student loan debt, the private loan debt, the parent plus loan debt comes into play. But there is something called, I'm really a big proponent and fan of, called the 529 plan, where someone that has a child early on or a grandchild can start to contribute to their child's education. And we can have a 529 party every year on the birthday. So I know a few people that their child at age 9 has their college fully paid for at today's prices.
So the 529 party, no gifts, would just contribute to the plan.
Literally bringing in, like, you can find a deposit, or you can just bring a 20.
I like that.
You can write a check, too, from a checkbook to 529. We spoke about that a few times on the podcast. All right, so your philosophy is, like, you should be planning to pay for college. Don't rely on
Because, you know, that our culture, and when I say our African-Americans, we don't believe in picking up the tab for our kids in this extent. But in other cultures, like I've been studying this, it is expected that the parent pays for that.
It's like a wedding.
Yeah, but in our culture, what do we pay for, right?
We pay for it all.
Prom.
Oh,
yeah, proms, we do that.
Maybe weddings, right? Cars.
Baby showers.
Baby showers, extravagant.
Baby showers.
Yeah. We get more baby showers than weddings. Well, that's a fact.
Right.
The Burberry shirt. The Burberry shirt was a staple at baby shower.
That's how you knew who the father was. It's to do with the Burberry shirt. That's him. Yes. You know what? Also, too, and to go along with that, is that we got to change the stigma on community college.
Yes.
And especially in New York, man. It's like people feel like, I feel like I'm not going anywhere.
13th grade, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's number one, if you're getting a liberal arts degree, it won't matter because you're going to be able to. He's dying. It won't matter. I mean, you can still transfer after 2 years. Plus, you're going to save yourself maybe $50,000 to $100,000 by just staying home. You know what I mean? You're not paying room and board. You're still eating at home.
So here's the hack.
The stigma is crazy.
So I'm a reformed college professor, right? And I could teach at a community college or I could teach at a private institution. It was the same class, the same textbook. I just got paid a little different. But the students were paying at the community college to see me on Tuesday, $300.
Mm-hmm.
At the private college, they were paying $1,600 a class.
Mm-hmm.
Same professor, same book, just catch me on a different show. Like,
and once you, it's like, if you have a bachelor's degree and you went to community college, they don't count your associate. Only thing that matters is your bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. If you have a master's degree, the only thing that really matters is your master's degree. So, yeah. Like, a lot of people even think, like, the first 4 years, if you're going, right. if you know you're going to be a doctor, like, go to a good undergrad, but don't spend all of your money on it, like, because your master's program is going to be more important.
Yeah.
Like, you know who went to community college? Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
No, nobody knows that because they only look at
Harvard.
Harvard. So and I think he went to, where did he go before Harvard? Columbia. He went to Columbia and he went to Harvard. So it's like they only look at that part of it, but they didn't look at the 2 years he spent in community college. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
But now it's 2 years that you're going for next to nothing. And you're a lot of kids aren't mature enough to actually go away from home and they make a lot of mistakes. So that's like, right. you know,
costly
time mistakes. To actually develop and grow as a person. And now you got 2 years on your belt and now you can get another 2 years if you want.
I'm going to be honest with you. With COVID, I would be pissed. Mm. If I was paying that tuition and I'm home with my friend that's home on the same platform, paying way less tuition, like that's crazy. Like I would be enrolling and switching over to another school, like personally.
So let me ask you this. As far as forbearance, there's general forbearance and administrative forbearance. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between those two?
So general forbearance, I'll give you an example. It's like when you need to call your lender, like, I don't got it. Like, so it's 36 months in the lifetime of your loan that you can just extend it, no questions asked. Then you have what's called administrative forbearance from the government for whatever they determine as a permissible reason. They can cover your interest, right? And then you have what's called economic deferment. That's when people don't know about this one, but that's when you get laid off. Or you lost your job, you have some paperwork that says that instead of using your general forbearance months, you want to use your economic deferment. Or if you live in an area that has really bad weather, like hurricanes and so forth, mm-hmm. there's weather-related deferments too that people can get so that you don't have to, again, run through your 36 months.
How would you know that? Because I didn't know that. Do you have to call your lender? Do you offer weather forbearance? Do you offer job?
Well, it's a government program, but it's, okay. again, it's not fully advertised. See, that's the problem, again, with a lot of our lenders and their websites. Some websites, some lenders, it's super easy. Click here, go here. Some are like, contact us, and then you'll hold for, 30 minutes. And then people just like, oh, forget it. I'm not about to pay them. Mm-hmm. Now it hits your credit. It's a cycle that happens.
Yeah, okay. So I got a two-part question. So does COVID obviously count as an economic event, one?
Well, no, administrative forbearance okay. right now. That's what we're under with the CARES Act because it's a government enforced policy.
So, and on the 31st of January, that's mm-hmm. done, and yes. now people are back into regular forbearance.
They're in the real world.
Oh, payment time. So then, if we're back in payment time, people can now apply for forbearance. How long is that? 6 to 12 months, or just 6 months?
Well, we don't know how much they have left.
Okay, but you,
36
I mean, 36 months. Okay,
yeah, but by the time somebody listens to this, they probably out. Like you know,
time's
and
up.
If they had FFELP loans or Perkins loans. They didn't qualify for the administrative forbearance, so they could have used some of their general forbearance months on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, bankruptcy, right? That's mm-hmm. one of the things that how does student loan play a part into that?
Oh well, you know, my girlfriend Elizabeth Warren, not really my girlfriend, but I'm just such a fan. So she is trying to she just put a proposal through to revise the Chapter 10 bankruptcy laws to say, hey. We need to include federal loan debt as a major economic impact. Like the wording, you can go look it up. But basically, she wants you to be able to get 100% forgiven through Chapter 10 bankruptcy. Now, somebody uneducated is going to watch this and go, I don't want to file for bankruptcy. Oh, no. Like you can go to my page and watch it, right? And you can see all the comments. I'm like, mm-mm-mm. In other cultures, bankruptcy is a tool for a financial reset. So if you're watching this and you are 27 years old or you're 32, and that'd be funny, you was up to 32 with bad credit. You could go seven more years and then get a fresh restart. But the challenge is we just have to be more knowledgeable on what a bankruptcy would look like, you know, per you. Now, you're married, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how it would go is, or how it should go, if let's say Troy takes on the bankruptcy because he wants to clear his loan debt. So then we know that his wife is going to be having a lot of assets in her name for about 7 years. And then, well, we don't know what could go left or what happens. And other cultures, the Jewish cultures, when you're done, the wife would then go into bankruptcy and then you would have the perfect credit score. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So there's a switch out. So there's nobody ever paying anything.
You had mentioned that, like, as far as, like, even in a relationship, you shouldn't have everything commingled.
No, no, no. I already got new.
About to get personal. No, that's valuable information, because in my mind, I always thought, like, yo, student loan was with you until you died. Right, it was like that. There's no way to get out of that. But bankruptcy, hopefully, that could be an out.
But that's a gem, though. Like, I don't want to breeze over that point. Why should it not be commingled?
Okay, yeah, no. So what happens is, again, because we don't. I'm just going to keep talking about our culture as an African American culture. I do a lot of thought and study around this. We don't know enough to look at each person as an individual business and entity, right? So let's say we're married, Shaw, right? I don't want everything in both of our names on paper, because now the bank is looking like we're looking real tied up together. Mm-hmm. My credit is affected. His credit is affected. Everybody shows that the DTI is super high. But you got to trust who you're about to marry, right? So let's say the loan goes into Shai's name, but I am going to be on the deed. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Right. And then now maybe I get the investment property in my name, and then he's going to go on to the deed as well. But from a loan standpoint, from a credit standpoint, we have two separate properties. We're not commingled on the same loan.
That's a gem right there. That's mm-hmm. a gem right there. Because a lot of times people don't fully understand. Julian Gordon, you ever heard of him before? You know him?
I don't think so.
He's a real estate guy. And he that's what he's talking about. Like, he said, don't buy your first property when you're married. You should buy, like, when you're engaged,
right.
Each person buy a property. That way, when you get married, now you got two properties, mm-hmm. two different people's names.
Yes.
And it increases your wealth. It doubles your wealth, mm-hmm. as opposed to doing it at just one.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that. And then
we're not doing it.
No, because the first Heads home up. Should be, you know, it should be a duplex, a triplex, or a quadplex if you're lucky to find one and you like it and you're okay living, you know, in a tight quarter. Because it really is, if you do this right, business is a marriage is a business. And so what could happen is, let's say we get that quad, we're in that first unit on the top floor, and then that second and third, we got renters, and then at the bottom, we got a commercial property, right? We only got to do this, for 3 years on paper, you know? So, because the challenge is people get caught up because they have children, and then they enroll their children in other school districts. That's how people get caught up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you get all these grants. You're not like, oh, take these grants. We want to make this home free and no money out of pocket. But those grants have lines and clauses that say if you move to a different school district or you move in 3 years, they can padlock and take your home. I know that's happened to a few people. So you do have to find, or don't take the grants. You know, you do have to read with a fine print. But, and then let's say we did that for 3 years, right? Now we're going to take some of this equity out. And this is all the stuff you guys teach. And then we're going to get the next property. Or we're going to get the real home after we get that first one going.
So can we talk about credit for a second? Because you brought it up. So 25% of borrowers usually default on their loan, mm-hmm. which encompasses a lot of damage to their credit reports. Is there any like solution or maybe a hack that people can use to help or maybe hide a little bit of the student loan when it comes to the bureaus?
So, you know, student loans can come off of your credit report. That's not a problem. That can come off. It can't hide when you're trying to go buy a home.
How's it come off?
Okay. All right.
Hold on.
Now, that's my master plan. Oh. You know what I mean? You know, like, y'all. All right. So what would happen is, I'm saying fast so they can still like, that's your stuff. Okay. I got a house I'm paying for cash right there. All right. So there are three reports. It's Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nobody really wants to do it like this, but you would pull three reports. And let's say we're looking at the student loan. So student loan one is here and it's all listed the same, right? But is it really listed the same? See where I'm going with this? It's not most times. And so let's say when we look on Experian, it could be one number off, or it could be a payment history different than here. Mm-hmm. And now I'm concerned. All the bureaus, high alert. I'm now going to send a copy of each page. I'm highlighting. And in my letter, this is a discrepancy. I'm just so concerned as a consumer. I'm not sure which is what. This is stopping me from getting a home. Please remove this immediately. That one's for free. And it comes off. Now, but don't try to pull that when you go to buy a home, because you're going to look like a liar. I don't have any student loans. I know people that do this. And then the lender comes back like, so what's this? Now they don't trust you, right?
Because right.
you're like,
how'd that happen?
Where did that $300,000 come from?
$400,000 doctor, John Hopkins. Right, I never went to medical school.
Yeah, so we're not doing that. So we're going to tell the truth. You can say, listen, on my consumer report, it doesn't show, but if you're going to get a federal loan, with another federal loan, they got to be able to say the good standard or not. And you'd be surprised. A lot of people that get their loans off that are in default off of their credit are in default and they can't get a home.
So is that true for both federal and private or just federal?
For what? Getting off the report?
Yeah.
Yeah, any.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as far as like a goodwill letter, from my understanding, that's like when you write letters, mm-hmm. I guess in today's time, you can actually call. Is that worth it or?
You know, yes. So, because we're in COVID and by the time they listen to it, it's probably still be happening, right? It's better to call and do a letter if they request. So like a few months ago, my friend had a late payment on his, I think it was his Neiman's card. He forgot, right? But he had a late payment a year ago, but because of COVID and we want to talk to people and empathize with people that we're talking to, the lady was so nice and took his late payment off from a year ago. So the call went like this, like, hi, Susan. Now, I acted like him, even though I sound like a girl, but you know they can't tell you really are a man on the phone. I mean, please do so I can sue you and, you know, whatever. So I'm like, hi, I am so-and-so. Let's say I'm Mark. Are you sure you're Mark? I'm Mark, ma'am. I'm Mark.
I'm not, yeah, right. Better known as.
Okay, all right, Mark. How can we help you? Well, Susan, I tell you, this pandemic has really gotten me down. How are you, Susan? At first, I want to start there. How are you? How are the kids? We don't know if they got kids. So she's like, oh, I tell you, this pandemic is hitting everyone. My son's really impacted. So I saw that one. Okay. Now, Susan, I'm calling because I'm a small business owner. And this is right before they passed the EDIL, those small business loans. And, you know, I am just waiting on those small business loans to come through. I had to close down. Susan, can you believe it? And the goal here is to keep saying Susan's name. Why? Because people like to hear their name. Right, Rashad?
That's a fact.
So it makes you feel good. So, noted. So Susan, are you experiencing anything like that? Anything like that? Well, you're working, Susan. Oh, God, it's good. I'm not bringing the Lord into it. Yeah, well, I do love the Lord. Yeah. So she's like, well, you know, it's hard, though, because we're here and a lot of people are sick, so I'm doing a lot of overtime. Oh, my goodness. So are the kids working? Well, now this is how we got it removed. And I know y'all probably listening and looking at it like, what is this girl? But it's relating to people. So she was like, well, you know, it's crazy you say that you're a small business owner because my son's a business owner. What, Susan?
Watch it. It worked for
So what? What? And how's he doing? He's not doing good, you know? I had to send him some money recently. This is all a true story, y'all. This is what happened. I said, what? Oh, my God. You were able to do that because you're doing overtime. She said, exactly. But I'm not going to be able to keep doing it. They got to pass this. So, Susan, that's why I was late. You see what I'm saying, Susan? Because I don't have the money coming in right now. And you see that I've been a longstanding customer with Neiman. No, he was. You got to get your facts right. And then, you know, this is how we got the other one moved. And, Susan, I tell you, because I had a little hardship. Do you see I had a hardship a year ago on my account with you guys? Hold on. I do see it. You were late a year ago. And Susan, you know, I don't like to be late, but I had a hardship then, and I don't want to repeat that, and you guys think I'm a bad customer. So, Susan, who do I need to talk to? What do I need to do to get these lates removed? Because, Susan, I might have to move. They're going to check my credit. And I could be homeless. So now you got to get real excited. I don't want you homeless. Okay, let me put you on hold. Now, that's a sign. Now, everybody listen closely. You're never on hold. Repeat after me. Never on hold. No, really.
Oh, okay. Never on hold. You didn't do it. Right.
Oh, never on hold. Never. Don't say nothing crazy.
Well, no.
We're so getting there.
What I do is I say, God's going to work it out for me.
Like, that's the hold? Like, you're doing that on hold?
Yeah, I sing spiritual songs.
And so, like, when they come back, they hear that?
Yeah. Or I might sing, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Yeah. Now, they don't want to keep hearing that, right? Y'all want to sing. So, that whole time is very short when I get into this little light after a while. So, anyway, you can't come back upset on the phone.
Oh, you got a great voice. Yeah. Son, you got a great voice. Mark, you got a great voice.
Negro spiritual.
Susan, are you there? Oh, I'm here. So, Susan, what did you find out? Do I need to talk to a manager? And this is how you know you're about to get it. All right, well, what I'm going to do is, now the voice gets low. That's how you, and then you got to mimic them. so what's going on, Susie? So I'm going to take this late payment off because this is a pandemic. Yes, it is a pandemic, Susan. And what I'm going to do is even take that payment a year ago off, because if you have to move, we don't want anything stopping you. Exactly, Susan. Oh, my God. I wish I could just hug you, but then we got to do 6 feet. You know what I'm saying, Susan? So now what do you need me to do? Nothing. When you're going to get an update from the bureaus that says this is going, you know, sometimes it's immediate, sometimes it's 30 days, but you're going to see it. And if you have MyFICO, it pulls continuously. Yeah, it came off the next day, fam. So hopefully somebody uses it.
Wow.
Philly never ceases.
Yo, I'm telling you. They never raised, ceases. You know what we raises, forgot? Yeah. Shout out to the Bullard. It made me think what you said, Temple. Shout out to the Bullard.
Philly's always got some tricks up his sleeve.
You gotta survive. I mean, so I wish everyone listening, they need Dennis. They need to all call.
You sure you never took any acting classes?
You know, in my
Tyler Perry might be calling for a role.
No, I did take some stand-up comedy classes for fun. I think I'll get back to that post-pandemic. But no, but that's like, the thing is, all jokes aside, people love people. And this is the best time to be nice to anybody you're calling to ask to do something. Really? They'll tell you what to do because they're people that's probably struggling or two steps from it themselves because of the pandemic.
Yeah, now what you said, that was a gem too, as far as I learned that in like sales, people like to hear their names.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So you when you say somebody's name over and over again, it makes them feel important.
Yes.
It makes them feel important. Like, oh, he knows my name. And not only does he know my name, like, he's saying it to me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And you heard what I said. I said, I don't have to go to a manager, do I, Susan? Mm. No, because that's like a thing. People don't want you to go to their manager. Mm. I could take care of it. Makes them, you know, come to your rescue as a hero. Mm-hmm. Oh, and if we really knew where she was located, we would, like, send flowers or something. Because that was really, really nice. His credit score jumped, like, way up.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm.
That's a hack. That's a hack.
That's a hack.
So before we wrap it up, I want to talk about the branding and business side of things. But just a general question: people that might be struggling, which is paying back their student loan, right? Like we talk about like debt methods to pay back credit cards, like the snowball method is a couple other methods.
Yeah.
If you're struggling to pay back your student loans, what are some suggestions that you just general suggestions that people may be able to benefit from if they're struggling to pay back their student loan?
Well, the income driven plans are the best option because that's why they exist. And especially with the pandemic, a lot of people are going to be leaving out of it on January 31st. Mm-hmm. They need to go in and update, do what's called an immediate recalculation of their payment. And they need to be like, listen, if you have no money coming in or little money coming in, you need to put that on the form. They're not going to ask for your taxes or your pay stub. They're going to take it at face value so that they can get a $0 payment if they need to. Mm. So anybody listening to this in real time, I'm not sure when this airs, but even when they do listen to it, if anything ever changes with your finances, you can definitely immediately go in and do what's called immediate recalc. And then they'll put you into administrative forbearance while they review it, and then the payment would be as, you know.
And that's true for federal. So, for private, the best thing is just try to improve your credit score to lower the interest rate.
Private loans, they were told by DeVos to not be aggressive and collect after people. You can't control private entities, however. So the best thing to do is to keep having a conversation. You know, I'm super dramatic. I would even tell you to fax in or mail in a copy of your budget to show that if there is no money available.
Yeah.
They're not going to be really pursuing lawsuits probably right now at this time either. So at most, it could hit your credit. But again, you can get it off your credit if you need to. I do feel bad when I hear and talk to people that have a lot of private loan debt. There is a positive note, though. We found this out recently with a young lady that moved from New York to Florida. She had private loan debt of $50,000 that had defaulted. Because it defaulted, they don't count that towards her debt-to-income ratio when she was going to go buy a home. So that was good news because she thought that $50,000 would count towards her overall debt.
But it would affect the credit score.
But she got her credit up even still.
Okay.
And she got off her credit.
Okay. And then you were saying like you should have different streams of income for different things.
Oh, yes, yes. So I have about 13 streams, and some of them work very actively. Some of them are very passive. And when my house gets done next month, I'll have 14. Now, I didn't always think like that. But again, I have some really good friends like, you know, Nehemiah Davis. He's one of my good friends. Somebody guys gotta get on this podcast. His name is Will Roundtree.
Oh yeah,
you know who he is.
Yeah, we met him in Atlanta.
Oh, super solid. Oh, yeah.
Shout out to him. Okay.
Yeah, we were doing a mastermind this weekend in Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, super solid individual. So you can't be around people like that and not think about who's going to pay for this. Like somebody's got your money. That's what Grant Cardone says. Who's got my money? Right. So who has your rent? Who has your car? Who has your, and whatever it is that you like, people don't even know where their money goes. So for me, what I think about is like, I literally have a list at home. Like it's going to say, you know, it might say the rent, it might say the this. So in the next to it, this might sound weird to some people, in parentheses, I know what stream that's coming from. Hmm. So somebody got my money and I need to know how much each stream has to do each month for me to be on par with goals.
An asset for every liability.
Mm-hmm. Hence the shirts.
All pun intended.
But the thing is, are you teacher? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. I like
you
that.
You teaching now,
these days? Yeah. During your leisure.
Your leisure.
Yeah, I don't work for a school district.
Oh,
no.
Okay. All right, got it. I was like, you still teaching? Okay. Dedication. Because, teachers, my whole family are teachers.
Okay. Shout out to every teacher in the world.
I was teaching, but I just didn't know how I would be teaching.
Yeah, and that's key. So that's why we use the word educate instead, because when I think teacher, most people think, oh, you work in a school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, no, we're still educating, just in a different medium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's good for business loans, too. Keep going with that.
So how did you, so branding, you're big on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You've created a brand for yourself. So from a marketing business standpoint, how were you able to take from doing in coffee shops, one-on-one consultations, to making, a brand mm-hmm. that is all over on global? How were you able to make those steps? Because a lot of people might have, talents in doing one thing, but they struggle from getting out of that coffee shop to church to, reaching the level that you're at. So how were you able to do that?
So all jokes aside, always been a hustler. Like, when I was little, I was always very wildly interested in money and what money could do. Now, money for me, when I was little, used to buy candy, cigarettes, and jawbreakers. So I always wanted money to buy the little stuff that I didn't want to ask my mom for, right? And my mom is a single mom, and she, had us in a really nice middle-class situation with a gated community. Like, she tried, right? But I knew that it was tight. So I was in private school, but it was tight. Mm-hmm. And I had to come out of private school at one point. I'm like, kids are like this? And I remember thinking, like, Mom can't afford to have me in private school anymore. We're in trouble. Like, so those things I knew I was very aware of early on. So I never wanted to ask my mom for money when I was little. So I used to do stuff like get a plastic chair with a rope and I would get some leaves because I didn't want for liability. I used to think like their purposes. And I used to tell people for $1 for 30 seconds, I'll make a fake ride. And so I know that's not weird, but I had my own roller coaster. So that was like my hustle. I don't know. I had a lot of hustles growing up. But I had that hustle in me, I think, because I saw how she really had to hustle to make things happen for us. My mom got sick when I was 16, right? And so when she got sick when I was 16, it's just me and her. I didn't know how much I knew about her business. I knew about how to use the ATM, how to write checks. And I still did bills at 16. I made sure all the bills was paid. She was in a coma. She came out the coma. She was like, she lost her hearing when she was in the coma. And I'm rewriting it down. She's like, well, bring me my receipt. So I showed her my receipt, and it had like $10,000 in her account. And she ain't never had no $10,000 in her account. But again, we're not spending it frivolously, right? And she like, no, that's incorrect. I'm like, no, it's right. I said, no cigarettes. She's supposed to cigarettes. I'm like, so you got money here. She like, I said, but I do need a new coat, So I digress. But how did we get here? So she like, get a coat.
P-H-I-L-L-Y.
So I didn't really need a coat. Now, I didn't need to get the fur coat that she told me I couldn't wear, whatever. But I did go get a fur coat. I got in trouble. So long story short, how did we get here? I put a meme out about 3 years ago that said 2018, the top of 2018. I said first African-American, because there are other people in my field that look like me, but they are not companies or entities. They're like the specialists, if you will. And I knew from the beginning I wanted to build a company because, one, I don't really like a lot of engagement with people every day, all day. I get burned out really easily. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, how do I just hire people? And then, so that's what I created, was the Student Loan Doctor as a brand. And I put it out there. Matter of fact, I gotta shout Neo out. Like, I probably
shout out to Neo, the legend.
Now, and Neo and his mom, I ride for him like no other, because, and he get a lot of slack for whatever, but super solid individual and always from a place of just do this, right? You know, he gonna tell you what to do, but you ain't gonna hold your hand. So you do gotta be smart enough to just go do it, right? Mm-hmm. So long story short, he was like, yo, put this meme out. This is when he was trying his marketing, like early on. And it was just a white meme. I was like 320 pounds at the time, but I didn't care. I'm like, you know, and I'm like, I put this meme out and I put it out. And I just wanted to get a little hit, a little marketing. Well, next thing you know, it started hitting little blogs and media. I'm like, oh, look at this traction. Praise God. It was coming right up on Black History Month. I remember I went to sleep. So I woke up the next morning and my phone is going off more than usual on Instagram. I'm like, but I gotta go to the office, right? And then I'm driving and my phone rang. I'm like, hello? It's like a number I didn't know. She's like, hi, is this Sonia? I'm like, who's this? And she's like, Maisha. Maisha from the Shade Room. I'm like, no, the Shade Room. I think I know about that. So, like, so I pulled over and I was like, how can I help you? Tell me your story and let's make it quick. Tell me your story.
Let's make it quick.
She was sweet, but she was very curt. And we still connect with each other now. So if she listens, she'll laugh. So she was like, I was like, well, so boom, boom, boom. So you gotta have your pitch ready. Never know. And she said, oh, I love it. Posting it. I said, okay. And then the phone hung up. So then I called my girlfriend. She's super ratchet, crazy. I love her. She said, she's like, we about to be famous. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, do you follow the Shade Room? I said, not really. She said, go to it right now. So at the time, I think they had like 14 million followers or something, right? And I was like, I'm going to be here? She's like, yeah. She was like, well, when's she going to post it? I was like, I don't know. Maybe in a few days. She's like, all right, well, let me come over. I'm going to come meet you at the office. So she came to the office. And I will never forget, we were packing up. It was like 9:30. Because I worked until 10. And next thing you know, I had an iPhone, but it was an old one. And it started shaking. No, it probably didn't shake, but I think it started going off.
And your mind.
In my mind, it definitely
it elevated off the table.
Yeah. And I'm like, is it about to explode? Because it was like, ding, 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 ding. And then the phone started ringing. And then emails started flooding in. And it was like a movie, y'all. And then I had got, what's the word? Let's start with a P. Like when you get
paralysis? Stuff.
Yes. I'm like, she's like, are you having a stroke? Blink twice. I'm like, I'm okay. I said, I think my life is changing. So literally, she called up all of our other girlfriends, like, y'all got to get to the office right now. It's going down. The Shade Room just posted it. So everybody rushed to the office. I think I ordered some pizza, and we were in there like 1, 2 a.m. And I remember in one night, I had 1,000 DMs. I had 1,000 emails. And I'm not making that number up, like 1,000. I remember it. And then we were just getting posted. And then the next morning, which was super crazy, every radio station in Philly was talking about us. And I'm like, what in the hell? You know? And so that wave, when we talked again, Maisha and I, because she posted us twice in 2018 for free. I was like, why did you post it? She said, Jesus told me to. I'm like, well, what else did Jesus say? Jesus, you know? So I'm really grateful for her because one, she didn't have to do it. And two, that was the catalyst to every other blog media source. And then, you know, I always knew, like, if you just give me a little opportunity, I'm gonna make it do it too. But that was like that alley-oop that a lot of people are not ready for. But I did have systems in place. I think I had about 2 employees at the time. I did have to do like a hiring boot camp. I remember I was hiring training every day for like 30 days after work. And after my appointments I was taking at that time, because I had just made the decision to go full-time in that business. Mm-hmm. And so then I had to open my calendar from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. because I'm not missing no money. I'm going to be really honest with you. Like, I needed all of that money. And that's really 2018 is when my life started to change. And that's where I started to look at money different. Like, I think I made maybe half of what I was making in 1 month at that point. In 1 month. And I'm like, they lied to us. Like, so now I'm starting to get rogue with it. Like, and the money that I make now, I really feel like we just got bamboozled.
Hoodwinked.
That's a feeling.
Neo is the he's a champion of that. Because he was doing that for a long time. Like, man retires his mom. Man travels to 37 countries and his wife. And it's like, he was doing all these memes like, man just buys a private jet for the first time with his family. Like, but shout out to Neo.
We would be up late every night, and I love his wife, And that would be the only person I could he could talk to as a woman that late at night. I ain't on no funny business. You can put it on speaker. But we're going to get to this money till like sometimes we'll be on the phone till like 3 a.m. I'm like, all right, try this, Joe. Because I had just left my job. He knew that I didn't play about executing. That's what he likes. Yeah. And he would talk me through it. I'm like, no, I think you should try this one. And then we were just doing it. And I'm really just so proud of him because it's like that one individual. I just don't feel like he doesn't operate with any fear, if that makes sense. Like, he's not afraid to fail. He'll fail and then be like, oh, that was great. Let's do it again. You know, and I had to take that and learn that from him because I was really scared going into, I'm going to be transparent. I was scared to make money because I felt like this was wrong. It didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. The account looked like it's too much. I'm going to explain this to my mom. I had all these things that was happening.
Did you have that, is it real feeling? Like, what? Is this real when you looked at the account?
Yeah, I didn't think it was because you know I'm used to seeing the number going the other way. Yeah. Yeah. So now, even now, I'll be like, sometimes you know, and I'm just giving it a bit, like you know. So even now, and I make a lot of money now, but even now, I'm like, I'm like, is this a joke? Like you know, and so just to be able to move how I want to move, travel, or like you know, be remote and do like that freedom, I can't explain it, like. It's so humbling, and I really am thankful. There's no such thing as having a bad day in my world. Like, I don't have bad days. I have bad moments. Mm-hmm. Because I can't have a bad day knowing what I've come from. I could look at my account, and the day got better. Like, I don't have, and I say it really humbly.
Wait,
like,
wait. Don't let that go over your head.
Yeah, like, hey, you have a bad day, you got money coming in as we sit here. Please. Money's coming in. Like, that's just how it is.
Brighten the day.
On the wake up.
It brightens your day.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, how you wake up to a bad day with a PayPal alert? Like, I ain't never seen that. Like, what you got going on in your life? So, and I remember, like, I don't have bad days. I don't know. And no, do I get upset? Do people hurt my feelings? Yes. But you don't get that much time from me anymore because I can always make more money, but I can't make more time. Mm-hmm. And so even who I deal with, who I talk to, who I text, who I hang out with, it's all very intentional because these are hours I can't ever get back. Right. Like, and so that helped me even with dating and dealing with people. Like, whew, you're about $1,000 an hour.
Minimum.
Like, I don't even like you that much.
I need to be paid for this thing.
Yeah, I actually, somebody had a bad day.
Respectfully.
Like I invoiced them because I wanted respectfully. To know.
Invoiced them.
Yeah, I wanted to know how I was going to get
that. That's hard. Send my invoice,
like,
man.
Like, did you mean to send this to me?
Yes,
absolutely
did.
Absolutely did. It ain't never get paid.
Yeah, I'm about to say that.
But it made me feel so good to send that.
Yo, invoice. Send the invoice.
You should send invoice to people that waste your time.
For this nonsense.
You should be
but
honored.
A lot of people don't even know how much their time costs them.
That's true.
And it's not what the job pays you. Let me be very clear. I was already a $1 million earner, right, before the job. But like, so, and you are at a multi-$1 million job right now, somebody listening, and they paying you 60, 70. No, you are the $1 million gift, like all jokes aside. Like, mm-hmm. If you left, if you good, let me be clear, if you really good. And I was always really, really good, no smoke at any job I went to because I was very prideful about any job I had. Mm-hmm. When I left my job, the president of the college, Jim, said to me, he said, Sonia, he said, I tell you, when I met you, I knew you were going to be one of two things. He said, you're either going to be a college president because I'm a dissertation away from an EDD. He said, or he said, you were going to be a business owner. I already knew it. He was like, you just didn't know it. Now, you think that would make you feel good, right? If you heard that. I was livid because the joke was on me.
Yeah, you knew that all this time and you let me work this up.
You could have been doing it.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Ain't that crazy? Somebody's thinking that about y'all.
They see the talent. They
so
right. Keep working for me.
So where are we at now? Talk about. I want you to tell me about the because you're not doing one on one consultations anymore. Like you duplicated yourself and you
yeah.
Put it,
no, it's really hard to get me on the phone. And I say that with love because I do a lot of Instagram conversations. We're now doing a lot of Clubhouse. Like our Clubhouse has been rocking lately. It's been fun. I know you on Clubhouse. I'll be listening to him in the morning getting dressed like, yeah, hey, that's a good point. You know? but you shot me.
Wait. You said you called him in the morning?
No. He's listening to a Clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
But he's on every Clubhouse. So I feel like...
He be hopping in and out. He's a midnight marauder.
Yeah,
I jump on
and... You know, say some words to the good people.
No, but you know what, Shadi, I got to say this. I love it. He say so. Actually, you got a little sales in you too. You know what
he sells? A little bit.
So, all right, Shadi, I just got to do this real fast. So he reminds me of like an innocent intern that just started on his job, right? So what you're saying, so-and-so, this person's making like 300 million, let's say 1,000 a month or something. all I've got to do is boom, boom, boom. Can you just run that back one more time? And anytime he says, can you run it back, I run wherever I'm at and go get a piece of paper. Because I know if he caught it, I should be catching it. But then I do listen to him passively. I'm like, that's right, Shy, you go a little further.
Yeah, keep pushing him. Yeah. Push him. Yeah, you got to push the button.
Keep doing what you do in the clubhouse and learning a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I really do go to the rooms that he's in. Because if I feel like learning, I feel like I should go to his rooms. Because I know he's up there as a moderator or a person. So I want to bring that back. That's a great point. I love how you shared that. What you're saying is...
Yo, this is talent right here. This is real talent.
I'd be like, yeah. I'd be wanting to text him like, can you ask? like,
why are you up on that stage?
Right. Yeah. And so how do you feel about Clubhouse? How do you like it?
Nah, you know what? I think that I think it's beneficial, but I think that it could potentially... water things down because it's like nonstop. Like, yeah. And I think it's like, it's so new. It's like a drug. Like people's on it like 48 hours straight. And, it could potentially, I think, water things down because like whenever it's just too much, it kind of devalues that level of information. That's just my own personal take on it. But I do feel like it has good characteristics, but, I feel like sometimes it's like a competition of like who knows more. And it's just like,
Everybody's a guru.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's trying to prove they're the smartest person in the room.
Everybody has these fake receipts from a screenshot you can get off of Google.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Everybody PTR and show your receipts. And all right, anyway, so I do know some people, and I'm like,
wait, who did that? Wait, who did that? Nah, don't
speak like, that. That's not your receipt. Like,
heavy on the cap. Heavy on the cap.
Heavy.
And you know, heavy. In my past, like, I used to be a private investigator, so I Googled some of them. I'm like, that's the screenshot from all right.
That's stream number 11, the private investigator?
Yeah, no, actually should be one.
How do you feel about it?
You know, I really enjoy it for the public knowledge that it's given. I do think it makes it for, I feel like for mental health purposes, I do think it's really good for the pandemic because it brings people talking again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's different than Instagram where we're writing, but to hear somebody's voice, you don't know what somebody on the other line could be going through. And so by that one gem being shared, you can get them re-excited about their project that they were putting on or doing before COVID. So I really feel like it is helping a lot of people. I do think there are a lot of gurus that I don't really know if they're gurus or not. You know, that's their business. So sometimes I get worried about the information that's shared. And then the other thing is, there was a conversation, I think you were part of it, where people were talking about how they're going to start to monetize that. And I think that's the problem sometimes with our society. Everybody's trying to make a dollar out of nothing sometimes. Like, can it just be a genuine app where, you know, maybe if people want a tip or share, but why does everything have to be monetized? Like, every little thing has to be, and then it just takes away from the fun of connecting and building, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. It's one of those things, like you said, it's like the call rooms back in like the 90s when it's like the hotline, like
the party line.
Party line, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't used for business. Yeah.
That was a different number.
Right. But yeah, the clubhouse it's cool because it's like you going in, it's like it could be Meek Mill. And that's what I really like about it. I was in a room with Meek and Swiss, and to even be able to, you know, have somewhat of a conversation with those people just randomly, it is different than any other social media experience.
Mm-hmm.
So there is value in it for sure.
All right, but hold on, y'all. That is interesting. Your favorite celebrities, like my favorite celebrity is Wale. I'm not going to hold you. If you told me he was down the street, we would wrap this up. Like, I love him. But I was in his room, and I was in there for like 4 hours, way too long, just listening to him talk. I learned a lot about him. I was making different opinions about him. So I think it's either going to help me really like more people or dislike them. Because their personalities, it is what it is. They're probably home on the couch.
You know what? You get to feel like, even on social media, Instagram, you don't really feel like you know a person by them posting.
You can hear them,
right? But like when I hear Meek Mill speak, I know he's interested in business because I could hear it in him. Like, you know what I'm saying? I could hear him asking questions. And it's like, you actually feel like you're on the phone with him. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's interesting. It's interesting. I think they just got to, you know, it's like all things. You just got to just make it a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
So I feel like for you guys, in terms of the guests you want to get, that's an easy like layup.
Yeah, it's a great networking tool. Every time I go on there, I learn some different things from different people. Shout out to Doug out in Philly too.
Oh, Doug. Yeah, he's super solid.
I learned some stuff from him. Like he said some stuff that I didn't know. So, I mean, it is good to go on there. And you can gain some information for sure.
Yeah, Doug made me upgrade my Tesla. So I brought my Tesla first and I showed Doug. So then Doug upgraded his Tesla to the self-drive. So all of our cars have self-drive, but it's self-drive in the city.
You got a self-driving Tesla?
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Oh, life. Yeah, like getting in the car.
You could use it now?
Yeah.
And wherever, everywhere?
Yeah. So how it works is it is still a little robotic. So Doug and Neo and I, we just are like little kids, we went to the parking lot of Target one night and literally we were in the car and he made on his app the car drive to him. So Neo and I in the back tripping, I'm like,
Come pick him up.
Yeah, to come pick him up. Like,
well, can you do it while you're in the car?
Oh, yeah. But he wanted to show us the feature that allows you to have the car drive out of the parking spot to you at the front of the, front of the store.
So you can go on the street right now and drive and not drive.
It's called Summon Your Car.
Hmm. And you can have it like drive you to the grocery store.
Oh!
Is it street legal? Is street legal now to do that?
It is, but it has to have you touch it every 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
So you can't just be hands off.
You can't fall asleep.
No. You could before they made the update.
So it's like cruise control kind of.
But in the city, if you put the GPS on, let's say I want to go to Target, and from home to Target is 5 miles, the car will go in this direction. It will stop at stop signs. In order to go, you do have to push the gas, and then it will go again on its own. It'll make the right on its own. It switches lane on its own. Yeah. And the car is actually a better driver than me. Like, I am a Philly driver, so I'm like, oh, that's my exit. The car put me back in the lane. And I missed my exit because I didn't tell the car we were getting over with the turn signal. Now I was pissed. But I was happy because that's how you avoid collisions.
Yeah, that could have been an accident. Yeah, sure.
But I feel like I was good, though. You know, the car should know.
That's crazy.
You do. Have you driven a Tesla yet?
Nah. Yeah.
So all you got to do is you go put it online, put your $100 down, and depending on your dealership, they'll let you hold it for the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
For the weekend.
They're putting one out here, like right in our neighborhood. They just built a dealership.
You get your car for the weekend. I'm telling you, you're never going to go back to like a regular car because, you know, when you park up, you can just watch your Netflix and the screen is crazy. They're going to integrate Zoom in it really soon so you can take your calls. The car is so quiet that I can do business calls from the car because it don't sound like you're in a car, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. My dog really enjoys it. It's heated seats in the back as well. Like, it just is really a fun.
That's the S type?
No, I have a 3. So I have a 3 long range.
Okay.
The 3 is super sporty. It attracts men like no other. That wasn't the purpose of it. Like, when I first got the car, men, like grown men, was pulling up to the car. Like, I thought the boy head was going to come in the window.
The boy head.
I'm sorry, really silly. He was like, you like that car? I was like, I do. Now, I am licensed, so I don't know what's about to come. Be honest with you.
Okay? This is Philly.
And I said, just back up a bit, Kobe.
Please. Respectfully.
And he said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, I'm just so excited. He said, I wish I knew you. So I'm like, man, let me take you out to dinner. And I'm like, did you just ask to know me?
I wish I knew you.
The speed on it, I am like a little boy on the inside. And I like to race people on Broad Street, especially because of COVID. It's not a lot of traffic.
Broad Street bully.
Yeah. So long story short, this guy had a, what's the fast one? Is it Mustang Camaro? Which one's the faster one? Camaro?
Depends. Depends. Let's say Camaro.
Right? So he had a Camaro. This is like the height of COVID. It's nobody outside. And I really just wanted to air this car. I just wanted to drive it. Yeah. I was bored. So I seen him and I'm like, he's going to be my little victim. So I had to act all cute like, so I went slow. And then it has a 60-second acceleration without the upgrade 2.9, with the upgrade 2.7. And 60 seconds. And I was off like 4 lights. It felt like a roller coaster. Yo, when I tell you he ran lights just to catch up. Again, we're in Philly, so we don't know how this could go. Luckily, I'm cute. Because he was like, if you wasn't cute, yo, I swear on everything. What's your number, yo? And I'm like, no, I just went to race you. It was fun. But anyway, I digress. It has nothing to do with anything we talked about. Although I just, let me bring it back financial for you guys.
Okay.
I was an early investor of Tesla because on my manifestation board for over 5 years.
How early?
5 years ago, I had to start buying Tesla stock.
So you good?
Yeah.
You held it?
Good numbers. Yeah. Still got it.
Yeah.
Even
because
better.
My thing is, I always wanted to own Tesla before I owned the Tesla.
Mm.
And so when I bought my Tesla this year, I felt really good about it because I was already involved. I already knew what updates was coming.
You're already owning the company. This was the best time
to buy the Tesla. In my opinion, coming out of the pandemic, because why? They're not selling them. I got mine right when the dealership opened back up. And they were so happy to see me because, hey, they haven't been selling any cars. And not to be funny, the Tesla buying experience, that's how you know things can be better, was 10 minutes, y'all.
Mm.
go online, do your app, credit pull, my credit straight, boom. Hi, Ms. Luce, congratulations. You want to come tomorrow morning and pick up the car? Matter of fact, just go ahead and accept your terms. No paperwork is needed to hit the dealership. We just ask for your ID. We'll do a virtual walkthrough when you get here. All right, see you soon. So I get there. Oh, yeah, he was with me. My friend was with me, right? And me, my mom, and him, we pull up. We don't know what's happening. They're on the inside of the glass. The car is parked out, shiny, clean, ready to go, charged up. They're like, okay, what you going to do because of COVID? They were virtually walk me through. And then you just pull off. I still feel like I
stole the car.
I didn't like have a, there's no car.
It would have been crazy if they just asked you for your address and like, yeah, we're going to send it to you in the morning.
Well, they could drop it off if you ask.
That's that would have been crazy.
I wanted to go to the dealership and take a picture.
Okay.
You got to get a deal. You're a spokesman. That was a hell of a pitch. That was a hell of a pitch for Tesla for sure. So let's end it with your ebook.
Yes.
Talk about the ebook if you may.
Yeah. So it's about 50 pages long. It's a day by day journey. So it's a 31-day guide to tackling your student loans, or slaying your student loans is the term. So day one, day two, and I wrote the book from the perspective of someone who never, ever looked at their student loans. The meat is in the middle when it talks about home buying. I put a lot of loan forgiveness programs in there, state loan forgiveness programs in there. I put in information there about, you know, I include something about getting additional streams of income just because I wanted people to think about how they can also start to pay down their student loan debt. But what I do with the ebook that's really different than I feel like a lot of ebooks is I commit to doing bi-weekly free calls. So if you buy the ebook and the confirmation email, it says click here for additional classes and resources. I just keep doing free calls on different topics, anything that's related to student loan debt, because I want people to be tapped in and tuned in. And for real, it's like, I'll make a deal with you. This ebook is what, $29.99? You can continually get free game in a Zoom environment. We could take up to 1,000 people in the Zoom. If I need to expand it, I would, but we didn't hit over 1,000. And I just keep doing the classes, and you can see people really having like eye-opening moments. 8 people so far and counting have gotten their loans 100% forgiven through the TPD program, the Total Permanent Disability Program.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have had disabilities that are physical, like you can see, that's preventing them from working. Some disabilities like lupus, we didn't even probably think about, right? I have lupus, but lupus doesn't have me. So I'm in what's called remission, so I don't take medicine, XYZ. But there are some people that are really struggling with lupus right now, right? So that would be a cause to get your loans forgiven.
Mm.
So the clause is, if it's anything that's impacting you from have continuous and steady work.
Yeah.
And we're going to put the link in our bio of this. Yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube, and if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, we put the link. We'll also put the link on our website under the alumni tab. So, yeah, $29. If you have student loans, you obviously definitely should get it. And if you have a child, or mm-hmm. if you have, you know, a niece or nephew, anybody that's going into college, you should educate yourself beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be prepared beforehand. Too many times in our culture, we prepare ourselves after something has happened. We're reactionary instead of being proactive. So you got to be proactive. You got to be prepare yourself beforehand. So, once again, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Fun. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Real quick, and you spoke about the loan forgiveness. I just want to add for all teachers, just another little tidbit, like our hack. And so we said that if you apply for it and you work in a Title I school,
mm-hmm.
And I'm only speaking this because this actually happened to me. They usually give you $17,500 or $5,000, depending on what you're teaching. The $17,500 will go to mathematics and science. However, I argued with my principal that I was teaching health at the time. Health is a science. Mm-hmm. And so I was able, as a phys ed teacher and a health teacher, to get $17,500. So that's just another
you
little
advocated for yourself.
That's right. So we got to $17,500. So that's good to know. So like sometimes people don't want to work in environments where they're Title I schools, which makes no sense because any environment could be a Title I school.
All Title I.
Yeah, they're all Title I schools. You work there 5 years, $18,000 off your student loan.
And it can be 5 years across the board.
Across the board, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
There you have it. And then how did you enjoy teaching at EYL University?
Oh, your classes, your students are dope. I had said EYL on live last night. I was like, all right, I have to go now. And they're like, oh, I'm a member. And so I think that's so dope because I like that people are investing themselves. Don't you think this is like the best time to be a young Black person getting educated? That's why I said, if it don't end the poverty mindset or the check-to-check mindset, if it don't end with this generation, then I don't know which generation it would end with. It has to be us, because you have an EYL, you have your, I think it's like, I don't, and tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like the influencers, particularly in this space, in my opinion, have a little more clout than some celebrities.
Yeah, a lot mm-hmm. of celebrities.
Right?
A lot mm-hmm. of financial literacy is the new rap.
And not to be funny, when you look up how much your favorite celebrity makes in a month, you probably make more.
No, I definitely make more.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're my favorite. Like, no, I'm just kidding. No. I mean, I see you at an event or something. Like, and that's the other thing. We don't want to idolize. I had learned that God gave me a really hard lesson. I know we're wrapping up. But there was somebody, I can't say his name, who I really admire, A1 in the financial industry, I'll tell you all offline. Right. And I had paid this $5,000 ticket to be in his VIP, and I was in Money Magazine right behind his cover. And I was excited to tell him I knew his whole team, and he was so rude. Mm. And God taught me a hard lesson. I mean, I cried, I'm not even going to be funny. Because I really idolized him, right? But God said, don't idolize me and idolize me, right? So when I did that happen to me, I'm like, I'm going to talk next to him one day with CNN. The hell? Like, so I'm not like really fans of anybody anymore, because we're all just one connection away from somebody that we are idolizing. I can respect their craft, but I can't be like, oh, that's so-and-so. You know, my joke is, I'll be having lunch with Oprah soon. You know? So that's how I started.
No, that's a fact.
We got that saying. We got that saying about Jay-Z. We're going to keep saying his name until he sits next to us.
You know, it'll be soon.
Yeah, soon. So.
Yeah, definitely.
We're on the trajectory. On the trajectory.
I like our chances.
But, thank you for doing that class. That was dope. And like I said, just to get the question and answers part of it. And, it's a whole experience. So thank you for joining us. And thank you for doing EY University. I'm sure we'll be doing a bunch of other stuff in the future.
Yeah.
Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, shout out to everybody on patreon.com. Our Proud to Pay program. Y'all know that Tier 5 members, y'all get access to that beautiful university that we were just speaking of, mm-hmm. EYL University, is the number one business school and entrepreneurial school in the entire world. So we shout out to all our earners that have been a part of that. And shout out to everybody that's supporting the merch, the EYL merch. It's moving, man. Shout out to everybody that has gotten our varsity jacket or the assets over liabilities or the Scullies. We greatly appreciate it. Make sure y'all take pictures in it, tag us in it so we can post y'all.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you guys for rocking with us. Don't forget to subscribe, hit the like button, leave a comment, review, and we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.